Hi, good afternoon. This is Romel here, and we have a special treat interview for you. We are in conversation with Dr. Yuvraj Kapadia, who's here on a special request.
Keep it Yuvraj. It's good.
I will call you Yuvraj.
Yeah.
But the doctor still applies because, of course, I will have him give the introduction. But just to start off, there was a transition from being a business person.
Yes.
And coming into doctor. So the doctorate you did was not just an easy task.
No. In fact, but just to explain that term, for many years, there was Indian Board of Alternative Medicine, which allowed you to specialize in alternative sciences. Since 2010, there's a court ruling, so we don't use that term anymore. But there was a process to get there, and that's where we are at the moment. I would probably prefer to say I'm a therapist. Therapist is a very common word in Ayurveda. A lot of people do different kinds of therapies. And I'm a hypnotherapist, which basically means I work with the human mind. Long and short of it, if we see the body is the visible part of the mind. And the mind is the invisible part of the body. The body is the hardware, the mind is the software. So when we follow conventional therapeutic approaches for the body, we go for medicine or we go for one of these approaches, we're working with the hardware. When we go in for hypnotherapy, we're working with the software. The two have an inexorable link with each other.
Wow. You believe in holistic health?
Oh yes, of course. So integral health.
Integral health.
Yeah.
We'll get more into that. How did this inspiration happen into business and stockbroking? So
probably two things in the timeline. I was born with a congenital heart disorder, which involved both the valves of the heart being prolapsed. It's a condition that you cannot surgically alter. You have to be on a certain kind of medication for the rest of your life. It gets triggered at some moment and then you're on medication. And it rules out any vigorous activity, rules out going for treks or hikes, less oxygen spaces. So that is one part of the story. The second part of the story is, yes, I was into the stock market. I was managing portfolios. And in 1993, I lost a lot of money. It virtually brought the whole family to bankruptcy kind of situation. And for 8 long years from there, which is till 2002, I was running from pillar to post to try and sort this out. And of course, since you yourself come from a construction background, we were landlords in South Bombay, so we had a building there. And the only way out of this was to take FSI and redevelop the property. So though I had no background of property, I started interacting with MHADA, with BMC, and getting FSIs through. But this drama was going on. This went on till 2002. And in 2002, in a strange space, because, you know, it's as we say that when you are in desperation, you will take every straw that comes as a technique to come out of trouble. So somebody suggested doing a meditation course. Just see if it can help. And I started in that course by myself to go back in time. And that was a spontaneous process. Of course, I realized later that what was guiding me in my head, I had a voice that I later identified as Sri Aurobindo, but I had no clue about this at that time. So I went through 13 lives, one after the other, spontaneous. And by the end of it, when I came out, the voice said, you can get your heart checked, it's over. And sure enough, I got the medical reports done and it was over. I didn't have the prolapse anymore. And the same voice said that this is a science and you will learn it. And you will take it globally. Well, I had no clue because this is not my background. And so what do I do now? Because this was a freaky voice. It says, wait, because the teacher who is meant to teach you will appear. And so I waited, and then the teacher appeared a year later. I studied hypnotherapy with Sunny Satin. And then the rest is history. I started with therapy. Oh, the financial problem disappeared in 3 months. What I couldn't solve in 8 years with my gold medal in Bombay University got sorted out with a very simple understanding of how the mind works and how every challenge or a situation in life is something that we have either consciously or unconsciously created so that we get an opportunity to discover the power of the divine that lies within us. And that was the one thing I had to understand through that whole process. So the moment I took responsibility for creating my own story, it disappeared. It had no other purpose to serve. And well, the journey started from there.
Wow, it's a very remarkable story, I should say.
Yes, it's a different story.
Yeah, it's a different story.
Yeah.
And you have a contact with the ashram.
Yes, that is a different space because my parents were big-time followers of the mother. A very close friend of my dad was like an adopted daughter to her. So they had a lot of access to the mother personally through that. So I have come here. They were here in 1967, 68 when Auroville foundations were being laid. I came to Pondicherry in 1972 when I met the mother for the first time. Yes, so that connection was there. And I think even to date, every month we receive those blessings that come with the flower, dried flowers and the sayings of the mother. Yeah, every month that pretty much comes. Yes, so that was a very one-off connection for me personally, coming in 72. You're very young, but some things stay in your head. And after that, there was no connect for me personally, till this happened. And when this happened, and I figured out that probably this is what I'm meant to do, because these things don't happen just like that. Then the first place I came to before I started my work was the ashram again. And as fate would have it, 6-7 years later, somebody who was going through my courses was also a student, or rather follows the philosophy of Sri Aurobindo. And then they spoke to the ashramites. The ashramites sent 2 people to attend my courses, and they found that I had a lot of his philosophy built into what I was speaking, but I haven't read any of his works, because that's the voice in my head that is speaking. So that's how it becomes so effortless to put his words into the current context. And then we got invited by the Sri Aurobindo Society first to conduct the whole curriculum in Pondicherry. So we did the whole course over a month and a half at Pondicherry. And that's how Sigrid heard of this. And then she invited me to Auroville to give a talk. And well, the rest again is history. She became a level 1 trainer herself. We've done classes in Auroville as well. We have quite a few therapists who are around.
Well, we have a general theme in Auroville. There are no coincidences.
Absolutely, yeah. And a whole lot of minor miracles that you keep seeing day in and day out.
Yeah. I was very lucky to be part of your introduction seminar a few days back when you were giving the speech. And I would like to share. I personally got very deep insights.
Excellent.
From the vast amount of knowledge you have. And
And that is the grace of these energies, to be honest. If I honestly cannot take credit for that, because neither have I studied it, nor have I researched it, and nor have I really read it. So there has been no personal involvement of mine. I haven't done sadhana or tapasya or research. So it is only grace, and that is how it flows. And it works. So I can't take credit for that.
I think flow is a great divine thing we have.
Yeah.
I want to ask you more about transpersonal regression.
Yes.
It's something you are inviting people to get into their lives more and more. If you can give me more gist on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think at the end of the day, what everybody wants at some level is either peace, fulfillment or happiness. You know, these are the usual answers you get. So if you want to be happy, just be happy now. What's the problem? So simple. You want to be at peace? Yeah, be. But can't be. So we suddenly realize that being the most evolved species on the planet, we aren't even able to consciously exercise such simple decisions in life of being at peace or being happy. Which obviously means that there are parts that are much bigger than our desires and our will that control how we behave and how we feel. Because if that wasn't the case, we would always choose happiness all the time. So what happens? And then when you start to understand the human system, you realize that when you talk of personal, it's about being the adult personality in charge, which is here and now, what you are, the power of now. Because that's what your body understands. Your body doesn't understand past or future. It understands only this moment. But the mind, which is the software, understands everything, the past, the present, and the future. Which means periodically, due to a variety of different reasons. When other parts take over that don't belong to the here and now, then naturally the personality of the moment loses charge. And that's when you start to feel grief, though you don't really want to feel it. Or you start to feel greedy, though you consciously don't want to feel it. So this difference between what you are feeling and what you want to feel is a hijack that happens from different parts. So when we do transpersonal work, we understand this background, that there are different parts in us that belong to different time and space continuums, maybe different dimensions as well. And when they take over the hardware, then obviously an issue starts coming up in life. So if you were to collate this with what Sri Aurobindo says in terms of integral consciousness. So what is integral consciousness? Integral consciousness is the ability to take the infinity of the soul, compress it into the understanding of time of the mind, and yet be fully present in the here and the now in the body. That would be integral consciousness. So in short, whenever there's a mismatch in these states between the body and the mind, and sometimes the soul, we are in disintegrity. So transpersonal regression helps us to identify those parts, and we don't need to induce the trance simply because the moment you focus on where is this imbalance coming from, that itself is powerful enough to bridge you into that time and space. Whether it's a childhood event, whether it's a past life event, or whether it's something that comes from beyond the system that we understand. And once you understand that, what we are doing technically is giving the conscious mind the logical reason for what is happening to you. And the moment that happens, the situation is more or less sorted.
It's like plumbing.
Yeah.
You are talking about discord.
Correct.
So, I think what I can find most refreshing while I talk to you is you are dealing with psychology.
Yes.
But at the same time, you are bringing it into such a common premise.
Yes.
Just like how we deal with money or how we deal with normal things, like regularly we talk to our people around us.
Sure.
And when I speak with you, it's the same casual feeling.
Absolutely.
Even though you're talking about such deep repercussions, such deep happenings that happen within us.
Yeah, Romel, that's also, I think, probably because I'm hugely driven with this thought that if your physical body and existence doesn't work for you, then the presence of the divine is not there. That's vital. Which means I'm also constantly focusing on bringing the spiritual realm into the daily realm of life. We don't need to look at life as a bipartisan attitude, that spirituality or looking for the meta part of life is something that is very different or a very evolved perspective, and living your day-to-day life is a very lowly perspective. Because the more we stay in that bipolarity, the more we will only condemn ourselves to bipolarity. So the other part also is to make this whole understanding of the self, of the mind, of the soul and of consciousness. I can't say understanding of the divine, because that would be limiting the divine, because whatever understanding we can have will always be a very limited perception of something that is infinite. And make it very, very understandable, because you have a right to know who you are. It's a very basic thing.
Yeah.
You know, if I have a right to know my family, my father, my mother, my business, my ancestors, my land, I'm constantly claiming that as my right, then this should be the first right I should claim, because this is all about me.
Wow.
And what you also see in India is that knowledge, unfortunately, does not translate into convenience. In India, knowledge is power. So people who have this knowledge leverage it as a source of great power, which for me personally takes away the essence of the knowledge, because if knowledge is there, it is meant to uplift human life. So hence the simplification that you said. I make it very casual because I feel even the panwala on the road should know this. This is how his mind is working. He is God. He is making these choices. He is creating those consequences. And he has an equally powerful right to do that as maybe an extremely rich person who would host a guru by paying God knows the X amount of money. Technically.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
This actually is your fundamental right.
Yes, absolutely.
Fundamentally speaking.
Yeah, so when people ask me, Yuvraj, what's your target in this world? Oh, my target is every living human. And I'm very clear on that. So, there, of course, in the days I learned hypnotherapy, Romel, it was a very infamous profession. Infamous as in, if you introduced yourself as a hypnotherapist, like even to my own friends, they'd say, "Sure, what's your name?" Because they won't want to look at you in the face with the fear that something will happen. But now, in my immigration form or everywhere I am traveling, that's the first thing I put on the form. And invariably, the person has, "So what do you do?" And it gives me 2 minutes to say, "Well, this is what I do, and this involves the mind." And 70 to 80% of them saying, "Oh, my wife is suffering from depression. Can I send her somewhere?" Because there is it affects everybody. So there's a whole perceptual change that I see with people going out there.
And I'm sure your casual approach to it is making it even more common.
Absolutely,
space.
Yes.
Because otherwise people would, I agree with you, maybe at least 10 years back, yes, speaking on psychological topics was taboo.
Absolutely.
Totally. As if being insane was...
Correct.
Yeah. You know, so I can see that shift, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So bringing back to holistic healing.
Yes.
I get from you that holistic healing is something to start with the body, but we start rather with the mind and or the divine consciousness. If you can elaborate more on what do you mean by holistic healing?
Okay, let's first speak probably of the word just heal, since healing comes from heal. So the origin of the word heal comes from the Greek language, and there's a word in Greek called hail, which basically means to bring back to wholesomeness or to restore back to completion, which then gets you into thinking, so what makes us complete? So how do I define completion? Well, so there is a body for sure. It's not to be ignored. But that's a part of the system. And then there are energies. And that's another part of the system. And then there are emotions. And that's another part of the system. And then there are thoughts. And that's another part of the system. And then there is free will. And that's another part of the system. And then there's the intellect. And that's another part of the system. So when you put all this together, that is healing. So healing is not looking at a human as compartments, but understanding that you need all these to function in synchronicity for the car to move smoothly. So it's like if you look at a machine, or you look at a computer, or you look at a car. So it has so many different components, and they are all vital. But the car is only healed if all of them are working in synchronicity and not in opposition to each other. So, thoughts create emotions. Emotions affect your chakras, your nadis, your meridians. And since the chakras affect your endocrine glands, hormonal imbalance comes into the system, immunity goes down, you fall sick. So, the thoughts and emotions are the intangible part of the system, which we cannot see, but we understand and sense and feel. And the physical body becomes the tangible part of the system with the chakras as the interface. So that's how when we look at integrated healing, that's how I call it. I don't put this as an alternative to the medical approach, because if you have a heart attack, you have 20 minutes to get to the hospital and that's it. Yeah. You need to get there and get a medication thing done. But by itself, it's not a complete approach, because if somebody gets cancer or somebody gets a heart attack, unless they fundamentally change something in the way they think and feel, it will recur. So it's about putting this whole thing together. So in the last, I would say, 7 or 8 years, we've been attracting a lot of medical professionals who go through this understanding of, because a part of them knows that the body is in the grip of the psyche. They understand that, but they don't know how to tap into it and what to do. So we have quite a few medical doctors who teach our curriculum as well. We have 2 or 3 of them right here who are in the class now revising these transpersonal courses. So we are seeing a growing awareness of integration, of integrating body, mind and spirit for health. Like, people use this knowledge for a lot of purposes. My focus is healthcare.
An ideal health condition would have you maintain all 4 aspects of your life.
That's right.
You cannot just deal with one and be in the mind frame that
is
taken care of.
Which is why the integral yoga is so vital.
That is why integrity is so vital. I want to ask you, in this journey, because this is an uphill task.
Yes.
As we already touched upon this, that this 10 years back, it was not a common premise.
Correct.
So what are the biggest challenges you're facing?
Okay. I won't say that there are no challenges, that would be foolish. But what has helped me deal with the whole process is what I told you in the beginning, that I don't have a titular right to the knowledge. I don't own it, which means challenges are not my headache. So if the knowledge is meant to flow, I have to just keep walking. And if I hit a wall, that means the universe is telling me take a turn. So you take a turn and that takes you on a different path. And if there is no road ahead, the universe is saying, okay, you need to look left, right, maybe look up, maybe look down. And then, so challenges come. But if you get involved in the conflict of the challenge, then it is your fight. This is not my fight. Because this was not something that I aspired for. This is something that has come to me and I feel I am a transitioning trustee of it. Which means it has to stay and flow through me till I have to do this, and then it will be somebody else, and then it will be somebody else. So,
I think having this mindset itself is part of holistic healing.
Yeah, because I don't own this. Yes.
I can clearly see how it can be not challenging.
Yeah. So, if that's what I said, it's not that we don't run into roadblocks. That would be stupid. We do. But the roadblock simply becomes, and as humans, we go through our regular baritone of emotions. So when something doesn't go the way we would have foreseen it to go, of course there will be pain, there will be anger also sometimes, and there is sadness and there is frustration. But you realize that that is because you are a human and you are entitled to feel those. You don't act on those. You feel, acknowledge, and as quickly as possible come into saying, so what is the universe trying to tell you? It's trying to tell you something. And if you're open to that, then there is really no damage control you have to get into. And my personal experience has always been that what the universe guides you into differently is much better than what you had ever thought for yourself. So in fact, that's been a hallmark of my life, that whatever I have consciously wanted to do has given me a nice one on the face. And the moment I said, okay, so maybe there is something better, it has catapulted me into a different league altogether.
And speaking of different league, I would want everyone to come to know that you are the CEO of California Hypnotherapeutic Institute of India.
Yeah, we've rebranded that now because we bought in a lot of metaphysical aspects to it. So I rebranded it as ECA, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also that it is one of the most unique institutes to get ISO certificate.
Yeah, that is. It's actually a funny story because the one thing that, you know, after my, so when I came to the ashram, and since this voice in my head, I'm a little aware of, you cannot be fully aware of Sri Aurobindo, it's not possible, because he represents too many dimensions in one body. But from whatever little I figured out, I also saw, rather, that in Pondicherry, etc., they deified him, and that was not what he was all about. So, much to the consternation, I think, of the trustees. The first time they invited me, I told them that he is a process and he is not a destination. And you have made him a destination and you are lost in the process. Because he is a process. You have to live Aurobindo. You cannot be Aurobindo. You have to understand what he is trying to get you into. So, I also understood that this had to last beyond me, which means I had to create a system where no matter if I have to go global, I'm a limited human. I can't be everywhere at the same time. So how do I set up a system that ensures that whether you do my course in USA, Nairobi, whichever level you do, you would get exactly the same thing. The teacher who taught me was very structured and I learned a lot from him. And then I had a fantastic supporting staff who helped me in that journey to put into place training systems that ensured that we could deliver metaphysics with the same degree of precision that I would deliver. And then we applied for the ISO because that was vital. You know, the funny part is, as an institution, we are between two boats. So you have the universities that teach psychology and sciences, and then you have the Art of Livings and the Brahma Kumaris who peddle spirituality, and we are in both these universes. So we are educational as well as we are dealing with knowledge that is of a different tangential space. So the ISO was a part of a thought out process that's where we should take it. Now the funny part is, after we were granted it, the head of that ISO, Asia Pacific head, he's one of Asia's very well-known systems analysts, came up with the same astonishment that you came up with, saying, how are we certifying an ISO process for an institution that deals with all the cuckoo stuff in the head? Means this is a little ridiculous, you see. So he decided to do the curriculum. So we had the head of the ISO going through the whole course as a student. And at the end of the course, on the last day, he mentioned that I have written a letter, or rather an essay, which I would like to read out in the class. And then he says that after going through this one-month process, the one thing I have figured out very clearly is that right from the time I am born, everybody around me is trying to hypnotize me into becoming exactly what they want me to become. I'm being born in a world of trance that specializes in hammering my brain and the way I think into a predetermined mode. And after living on Earth for 42 years, I finally found a safe space. A space in which, without fear, with courage, with love, and with joy, I could find a space in which I had the liberty to discover who I truly was. And I found it in the 1.5 months of doing this course in practice with my fellow students. And that was a very huge feedback, because it told us that though we have honed in systems in a physical reality, at the end, it's only becoming an entry point into freedom of the metaphysical understanding of who you are. And at the end, that's what it's all about. It's the whole ability to choose with freedom. If we can restore that to humans, we've done more than what we came on Earth for.
You're a person of so abundant energy. You
know, that is grace. I keep telling you, it's not my story. I'm lucky.
So what do you see as your mission or your vision?
My mission?
Yes, where are you taking the institute, or where are you taking transpersonal regression? What is future?
167 countries before I die. That's my thought.
Open a center in all these...
Yeah, courses going on regularly. Yeah, we're on our way. We'll manage. Come, Shweta. You know, you watch in the interview.
We also, before coming for your interview, I mentioned it to a couple of people in my office also and around me. They were also very intrigued to know more, how is it going to be. So they made sure I have some questions.
Sure.
So someone had asked me to ask you, how can we know what is good therapy and what is bad therapy applying to ourselves?
Okay. So any session that brings you into more presence, any session that ends with more vitality, with more energy, is good therapy. Any session that leaves you over and out can be labeled as bad, but that's needed at the moment. I would also say that.
So what you're suggesting is the decision we decide that I want to go into therapy, the therapy begins.
Yes.
And you should not be so conclusive about therapy.
Also, the impulse that you need therapy comes from the deeper space. The decision to go for it comes from your conscious. So, in the inner matrix, you are born with the blueprint of life. And unconsciously, the universe conspires to keep you on the blueprint. But since we are also ignorant gods who are discovering the power of creation that we have in our being, we are also blessed with free will. Now, with free will, when you deviate too far away from the blueprint, is when the whole journey with pain begins, karma begins. So all karma starts with willful deviation from your plan of life. If you stay on the plan of life, no karma at all. It's just a unipolar flow of energy from abundance to lack. Which is why in nature there is no karma. If you watch nature, electricity flows from positive to negative terminal, there is no karma of giving it back. Magnetism flows from the North Pole to the South Pole, never goes back. Water flows from a higher level to a lower level, never goes back. So the rule in nature is a singular movement from abundance to lack. each one of us is born with something that is abundant. And that is your plan. That is your life plan. So for me, this is my abundance. It comes. So the more I give it away, the more it comes. That's what we are abundant in. Like Bill Gates is abundant in wealth. The more he gives away, the more it comes. Now there's no karma here. Okay. So getting that into people's understandings is where the jewel is. Because the whole, when you look at the paradigm of the coin, are you operating in abundance or are you operating in lack? The moment you're operating in lack, your constant thought process is want. I need, I want, I need. And then that you're in the cycle. And then at some point of time, therapy will kick in.
I think we can have an endless conversation with you, Yuvraj. Because I think everything you're saying is not only unique, but it's at the same time refreshing and empowering. It's not jargon someone has to sit back and contemplate. It's just making sense,
common sense.
At straight face value. And what would you think is like small task or small actions someone can do in their regular life which can get them more in, connected to their blueprint, as you mentioned?
Okay. So firstly, let's, you know, if I were to put this in how I explain chakras to people through a common sense perspective. So the first rule of life is never forget your roots, because that will keep you humble always. No matter where you go, never forget where you came from. Because as long as you acknowledge that, the nourishment of your ancestors is always with you. Sacral chakra brings you to passion. Don't do things that don't fire your imagination. It's a waste of time. Do things that make you feel fantastic about the fact that you're alive. And everybody has something. Okay, that's your zone of abundance. Your zone of abundance comes from passion. And different people have different zones of abundance. You could have a spiritual zone of abundance. You could have a mental zone of abundance. You could have a financial zone of abundance. You could have a vocational zone of abundance. Like people who find worship in work. Everybody prays. Somebody has to make these houses, no? So, and Auroville, etc. is a classical model of that. About how whatever people do comes from what their passion guides them to do. And then once you discover your passion, don't give up. Things will happen. Be with it. You may not see the result here and now. Be with it. And of course, the best space in life is to be loved and accepted by people for doing what you do. Which obviously means others would expect the same. So just learn to accept people for what they are, because each one of them is doing what makes sense to them. Be honest to yourself, have a clear vision, and remember, behind everything, it's the divine. So it's happening through you. It's not happening with you. These are simple thoughts. Beyond that, understanding the zone of abundance for me is the key. And I normally crack that by asking people, if today was the last day of your life, what would you do? That's your zone of abundance. It's as simple as that. Concentrate on that. If you concentrate on that, the rest of life will take care of itself. I'm not saying shit will not fly in other areas. But that zone of abundance is a zone of infinite grace that comes from the divine. So if that's where your attention is, that's where energy will flow. The rest takes care of itself. So just discover what takes you away from time. Like if I'm looking at you and we're doing this interview, and if I keep looking at the watch, then this is not my zone of abundance. So the zone of abundance comes when I can be fully focused in a timeless space. Matru Mandir tries to do that. It gets you to concentrate in a timeless paradigm. So.
Great. As I said earlier, we can just go on, keep going on. But I would rather say people should take the effort and know you more, get in more touch with you. How is someone can get in touch with you? What are the ways?
Yeah, my email is always there. All my students have it. I have a website. I have a phone number that's on the website. Answer all my phone calls. Yeah.
Which is the website we can access?
I think www.eka, that's my company name, eka.co.in. My phone number, 98200-36116. And I'm very fine. I haven't changed it for 20 years. So.
Super. I appreciate all the time you gave to the radio.
Thank you so much, Ramel. This is a pleasure.
Have a wonderful time in Auroville.
Yes.
And We hope to see you
again.
Yeah,
and enjoy every moment.
Yes.
Yeah, it's beautiful to breathe, you know.
I definitely enjoyed this interview a lot.
Enjoy this moment, because when we won't have the body, we will crave to come back to it. At this moment, we have it. So, good luck, and thank you for your time and effort too.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck to you.
Bye. Bye-bye.